I invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to chapter 15 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 15 and chapter 14, in chapter 13 and 14, the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy against the prophets and prophesy against the daughters that both prophesy. The Lord said that there's not going to be a vision for many days, but he's going to have it prophesied and then he's going to bring it to pass. The Lord is done. He is done. And understand this, he's done with his people, okay? He's not done with the nation of Israel because he's going to bring her. We see that in the scriptures. That's very plain. But for this time, he is filled up with their rebellion and their terrible, terrible way. What we're going to see in this book is that the intensity of the Lord's condemnation against the nation, his condemnation against his nation, is just going to come increasingly more intense. He's looking in this book and the calling of our brother to get the point across of how bad his nation, his people's sins have been against him. And some of this in this book is you know, we would say is pretty raw. But that's how bad sin is. And we need to know that. May our Lord help us to understand that and get that point. And the argument that the Lord has against the people of his nation, the leadership of his nation, is that which stems from their heart. And we've seen that reference here in passages that we've looked over. We come here to chapter 15, and I think certainly chapter 15 and chapter 16 go together. And chapter 15 is a short chapter. And let's read here what our Lord is saying through his man. Again, the Ezekiel called by the Lord, Son of Man. And we wonder and we look to find out with our Lord's blessing to understand why our Lord so many times, 90 sometimes, calls Ezekiel the Son of Man. In his speaking to him, and there's no other that compares to that. We left off last time in chapter 14 there that the Lord says that his nation will know, and Ezekiel will know that he's not done these things that he's doing without a cause, but he's done it for a reason. And so as the people of God, we look on at even our own nation and the disobedience of our own nation, but the judgment of our Lord upon our nation. I think that's the reason we have the leadership, the administration that we have. It's judgment from God. You know, we don't need to despair. We are grieved. We are troubled. We should be. We should sigh and cry because of the abominations that are done in our land. But our Lord is still on the throne, and he does all things well. And praise the Lord that he does work, and he does notice. In chapter 15, verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest?" So the Lord starts out asking a question about this vine tree or a branch. Of such, which is among the trees of the forest. Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. It is meat. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for any work when the fire hath devoured it and it be burned, and it is burned. Verse 6, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." We see those words again. It'll be known that he is the Lord when I set my face against them. "And I will make the land desolate because they have committed a trespass, saith the Lord God." The vine tree, evidently there in Israel, there in the land of Canaan, there's a tree that is not fit for anything but to burn. The Lord has, I think he makes very clear here that he's given this tree just for that sake. It's a tree that the grain of the wood is not suitable. Or it's a tree, I was reminded or made this connection of a tree out in California, the California oak. And if you ever have an opportunity, you can go and even look it up and Google it and see some pictures of California oaks. Where Clarissa and I were able to travel there last year and be with our family for the celebration of her aunt's 80th birthday. Her cousin, where they live, they have a lot of California oaks that are there. And what you see about a California oak is there's nothing straight on it. It just grows every which way all over the place. My father-in-law asked years ago as he was traveling out to California and he saw the California oak, and Cecil being a man that had grown up, his father having a sawmill and growing up around sawing trees, you know, timber and the lumber and such as that. You know, he asked the question, could you get a straight board foot out of a California oak? And the answer is no, not really. The tree serves as shade. The tree serves to hold the ground together for the sake of erosion and rain. But other than that, all it's really good for is to be burned. And evidently in the Palestine, there's a tree there. The Lord refers to it as the vine tree. And he said that's all it's good for. That's what the Lord's provided it for, is to be burned. He said that's what's happened to my nation. They've got down to the point they're good for nothing. I founded them, it's going to be very clear in the coming chapter, I founded them to be a blessing and a testimony unto me. And they're in a fire, and they're going to go, in verse number 7, they're going to go out of one fire into another. They're going to come from the fire of their sinfulness and their wickedness and disobedience out into the fire of my chastisement and judgment. They're good for nothing. And may our Lord help us that it not be said that we not live a life and then in the end of our lives as the children of God become a castaway. Paul did not want to be a castaway. As my pastor used to say it, I don't want to come into a situation in my life where I'm set upon a shelf. I want to be useful for the Lord. I want to be a blessing for the sake of the testimony and word of the Lord. I want to be a witness for the Lord. And not get caught up in sin and be a castaway or be one that would be set up on a shelf. Then we come to chapter 16. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, there it is again, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. I'm going to give you something, Ezekiel, to yet once again, in another way, explain to Jerusalem, my city, about her, not sins, but her abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother an Hittite. Is that so? No, it's not so, is it? But the way that they're behaving and the way that they're operating, it sure looks like it's so. These were those that the Lord said that should be driven out of the land. These are these that the Lord said were abominable in thy ways. And the Lord now has said about his own city, his own nation, you operate in this way that thy father was an Amorite and thy mother an Hittite. You know, that's a real slam. But it's the truth. It's where they've come to. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, which for a child to be healthy, they need their navel dealt with correctly. Okay, so they don't have hernias and don't have infection and problems when they're born. Neither wast thou washed with water to supple thee. They need cleaned up from being carried in their mother's womb. The Lord's taking this thing that is understood by men and women, and how it is with the bringing forth of a child, to give an understanding about how it was with Israel. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. I was being salted to clean all that that flesh, or what's the dead flesh, or that, you ever seen a child that's just born, you know, they got that milky, pasty covering on them. They need that cleaned off of them so they can be healthy and made right. He says, it wasn't that way. None I pitied thee. None of the world valued the Lord's nation to do any of these unto thee. Nobody cared about Abraham. Nobody cared about Isaac. Nobody cared about Jacob. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. He says, I want you to remember how it was at the beginning. As the Lord said, it says in the scriptures, he said, I didn't choose you because you're great and mighty, but I chose you because I love you. Nation, I chose your daddies because I loved them. Because I loved them. And I love them. I'm trying to not refer to the way the Lord operates in the past tense. We are very past tense. The Lord's always now. And so he goes on to say in verse 6, and when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I gave you life. I made you a nation. I caused you to live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. I have caused you to grow up. I have caused you to be fair. I have caused you to be raised up as a father and a mother, as parents would want their daughters, their children to be raised up. I desired and I caused it to be good with you. And when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, verse 8, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Here the Lord refers to kind of in a way of love and even of romance between a man and a woman. He's referring to her as a she, when she was weak and needy, the Lord protected her. The Lord claimed her. The Lord made her his own. The Lord loved her and loves her. And he goes on to say, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, there in the midst of verse 8, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. I claimed you. And he made that covenant and that she couldn't keep. Okay, and that's a subject for another time. Verse 9, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. He cared for her. Not just salted her to clean her up, but this care of this oil was such that he worked upon her to give her longevity, okay, and care, health, even as that health of the skin is indicated here. I clothe thee also with broidered work, not with just some old castaway garment, some castaway cloth or some low-end cloth, but with broidered work. I shod thee with badger skins. I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered thee with silk. I blessed you. I made sure that you were dressed nice. I covered up your nakedness. I did away with the way that it was in the beginning when you were there and polluted in your own blood, when nobody cared. I cared, and I cared greatly. I decked thee also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain up on thy neck. And I put a jewel in thy forehead and earrings on in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thy head. I took you from being despised to being adorned. And what the Lord's speaking about here, he's speaking about his love. He's speaking about his care for his nation. But he's speaking also about the prosperity that he gave Israel. He gave her prosperity. He made the prosperity easy. He brought her into a land that flowed with milk and honey. He gave her houses that she hadn't built and vineyards that she hadn't planted and even cattle that she didn't raise. He did that for her. And he adorned her well. Verse 13, thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. The Lord's hand was upon her. The Lord loved her. He chose to love her, and he loved her. You know what? And the Lord showed it, didn't he? He showed it. He just didn't talk about it. He showed her that he loved her. Verse 14, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through thy comeliness, which I had put upon thee. I made you look good. I fashioned you to where you were the jewel of the earth, which I put upon thee, saith the Lord God. But thou dost trust in thine own beauty. Thou playest the harlot because of thy renown and pourest out thy fornications on every one that passed by. His it was. The Lord's speaking in a speech like a husband. And in regards to Israel, that's the way of understanding that we have about it. And he said, all this that I blessed you with, you took and you thought you did it. You forgot about me. You forgot about the one that rescued you, provided for you, delivered you, washed you, clothed you so, cared for you so, gave you blessing and prosperity. You forgot about the one that did that for you. And you thought you did it. As the generations churned on, as they arrived in Canaan, and in your mind's eye, can you remember all the years, the ups and downs through the book of Judges? Remember that? And then King Saul, and then King David, King Solomon, the ups and downs, the blessings of the Lord, and then a divided kingdom, and then a mess, generally speaking, from then on, downhill. Why? She got confident that she had done this for herself. The generations that came forgot what the Lord had done in the generations of their fathers. They forgot about the history. They forgot about what God had done for them. And they went away as a whorish woman, a woman that would go away from her husband. Thou dost trust in thine own beauty and playest the harlot because of thy renown and pourest out thy fornications on every one that passed by. His it was. Very loose in her way, the Lord says. Verse 16, and of thy garments thou didst take, and deckest thy high places with divers colors, and playest the harlot thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. He said, I'm tired of it. It will not be. You took what I blessed you with, and you used it to worship other gods. You used it to please others. Thou hast taken thy fair jewels of thy gold and of my gold and of my silver. See, they forgot whose it really belong to is the Lord's. All that we have is on loan to us from the Lord. We need to remember that. I need to remember that, which I had given thee. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels and my gold and my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men and didst commit whoredom with them. You took what I blessed you with, and you took it and turned around with it and sinned against me with it. You worshipped another and tookest thy broidered garments and coverest them, these images, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. What belonged to me, you've worshipped others with it. My meat also, which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast given it before them for a sweet savor. You've sacrificed with it unto idols. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me. The Lord said, every child that openeth the matrix is holy unto the Lord. It was His blessing that they had children. It was His blessing that they prospered by number. And these hast thou sacrificed to them to be devoured. Thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters that you have borne to me, and you have sacrificed them to idols to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? You've given them over to the wicked priests and the wicked priestesses that sacrificed them to Baal and to Ashtoreth and so on. He said, it's wickedness before me, and they are mine, and you have taken them and done this with them. Verse 22, and in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth. See, they forgot. When thou wast naked and bare and was polluted in thy blood. You know, I tell you often, and Lord being my helper, I'm going to keep on telling you often, it does us good to go back to the cross. It does us good to go back to the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. It does us good to go back to the Gospels that tell us about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. May we not come to a place that we believe that we're so doctrinally enlightened and so doctrinally blessed by our Lord that we forget about the beginning. Because this nation did. This nation forgot about where she was brought from. And she gloried in herself rather than rejoicing in her Lord. And you know what? She went astray, didn't she? She went a wicked and an evil way. And it's not remembered the days of thy youth, verse 22, when thou wast naked and bare and was polluted in thy blood. I tell you what, we need to always remember what our Lord has saved us from. Lord, help us. We enjoy unity and blessing and provision and prosperity from our Lord in many ways, but we don't need to forget what our Lord has brought us from. We have not brought ourselves where we are, but our Lord has brought us. Praise be to His name. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou also built unto thee an eminent place and hast made thee an high place in every street. Remember how Ezekiel, as he went to the temple and the vision of the Lord and how there was the abomination that makes desolate. All through the city, there were places of worship, not to God Almighty. See, there was a departure in principle about there was one place to worship, the temple. And there was a departure from God, the one to be worshiped, by this number and this multitude of places that they had. What had come to be was that whatever way suits you, have at it. Whatever way you can think of to worship, you just have at it. And that's what they did. And unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee a high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, every major branch in the road, major crossroads, and has made thy beauty to be abhorred. Thou hast opened thy feet to every one that passed by and multiplied thy whoredoms. They're whorish. They're willing to receive in unto them, and the Lord's using that figurative speech about a woman, a wife, just glad to take any man that comes along. That's what's being said there. To everyone that passed by and multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore I have stretched out my hand over thee. I have diminished thine ordinary food. Remember how it was with Ezekiel and how it would be? They grow and they plant and they grow and they plant and they can't get enough. And then with the siege that's coming, remember that little bottle of water I had for a day and that little bit of flour I had in that jar for a day? They went away from the Lord. They went away from the bread of life, and they don't have ordinary food. and have diminished thine ordinary food and delivered thee into the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Even the Philistines have not gone as far as you have gone. He's going to speak more about that. See, as we read this morning, and our Lord showed us this morning, we who are saved have been separated from the world by our God. Don't ever think that the world is going to receive you and love you. We should have a good witness. We should have a good testimony. And we may have amiable, we might have a good reputation. We are to have a good reputation and a good relationship with those in the world. But understand that the way of the Lord is ultimately hated. And if we try to gain them by going into their wicked and lewd ways, you know what will happen at the end? We who are the Lord's, even chasing after that way, will be hated by the same that we go and pursue in with. See, they tried to be friends with the Egyptians. They tried to be friends with the Philistines and the nations of the land. They were never received. Those nations just loved them, quote unquote, for what they could get out of them. Behold, verse 27, therefore have I stretched out my hand over thee and have diminished thine ordinary food and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee. See, they tried to gain their favor by being even whorish unto them, with them, but they never gained them. May we seek, as a brother mentioned this morning, may we seek to please our Lord and be a good witness of our Lord into this world. He is the only one that can gain them and turn them like he's turned us. But we will never gain them by joining them. They hate them. The ones that hate them are the very ones that they were whorish with. The daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. See that? The Philistines didn't go as far as Israel did. The Lord will say more about that in a moment. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians because thou wast unsatiable. Couldn't get enough of whoredom is what it's talking about. Couldn't get enough of being lewd and wicked in this way. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them and couldst not be satisfied. It never could be full of that wicked way. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea. Wait a minute. That's where Ezekiel is, isn't it? Is in Chaldea. He said, this wicked heart and this wicked way, this I'm not going to say that because it'll be misunderstood. But he says, your multiplied thy fornication has been happened in Canaan, and it's stretched all the way to Chaldea. See, there those that are in captivity in Chaldea, where Ezekiel is, they don't get it. That's the reason the Lord sent the prophet to them. They don't understand why they're in captivity. They think it's just been an unlucky thing that's happened to them. That you know, just that things got kind of haywire, but that we're not here because of anything we've done. But the Lord says it stretches from home all the way to there when they're in captivity. And yet thou wast not satisfied herewith, still not satisfied. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, one that just cannot be filled up with whoredom, can't get to an end of this whoredom, as the Lord refers to it. In that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, in that thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. Exclamation point. He says, this imperious, whorish woman, This is a woman that is actually looking. It's like the woman that's described in Proverbs. She's looking to take every man that she can get. That's what Israel has done. And that's harsh language. But it's the Lord says that's how bad it's got. And the thing is, he says, You build this eminent place and these places of abomination. You know, the worship is sensual and salacious and mixed with intimacy between all people, just even an orgy at hand in every street. And thou hast not been as an harlot, and then thou scornest hire. A prostitute looks to get paid, but she's gone beyond that. She doesn't want to be paid. She's going to pay herself. But as a wife that committeth adultery would take a stranger's instead of her husband, they give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers. And what is the gift that they're given? What the Lord's given them. They give what the Lord has given them. See how they scorn the Lord in that? They take what has been given to God unto them, and they give it to the wicked and to the heathen. Their hearts are far from the Lord. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee and on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms, and in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee, therefore thou art contrary. You're so far down the road in this thing, you pay to have others rather than them pay to have you. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them. Remember earlier verses down there in verse 20 and 21. Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated. I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. You give away what I've given you. I'll round them up and bring them to you to bring you to desolation. You won't have anything. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, murderers. And I will give thee blood and fury and jealousy. And I will also give thee into their hand. And they shall throw down thy eminent place and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes and shall take thy fair jewels and leave thee naked and bare. That's what you want. You get your sin and your wickedness and everything that goes with it. And they shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones and thrust thee through with their swords. See, they're the Lord's people. And they'll always be the Lord's people. And they'll never be received by the world. The world will take advantage of them. The world will take what they can get from them. But you know what? They won't ever be able to go and join the world. Because the Lord will stand against it, and those that they try to join will stand against it. Because they are the Lord's nation. Hear that? Hear that? We who are the children of the Lord, we are the Lord's, period. And the Lord will not let us go back out in the world without whipping us or taking us out of this life. And the world will never receive us. They'll never be our friend. Because if you belong to the Lord, as we belong to the Lord, they will not take us. They'll use us, but they will not have us. So the point is, why go away from the Lord who has loved us so? See that? And they shall burn thine houses with fire and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. And thou shalt give no hire any more. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and will be no more angry. Praise be to God. Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me all the fret, but has fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore, I will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God. And thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, Ah, is the mother, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite and your father an Amorite. See, he tells how it was in the land. Remember how it was in the land there in Canaan? The wickedness of the Amorites wasn't full. He says, you go after their ways, it'll be sure desolation and destruction for you. He said, this is an element of the way it was with them. They had marriages and they hated their spouses. As is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter. And as the Lord's accusation here, she was a Hittite. And that was evidently a way amongst the Hittites. Verse number 46, and thine elder sister is Samaria. Samaria. When you see that about Samaria, just understand Samaria is just a confused place. As the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 4 came to the woman at the well at Sychar there in Samaria, she said, our fathers say you ought to worship here in Gerizim, but you say you ought to worship down in Jerusalem. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ told her? You worship ye know not what. I mean, they were a mess. They were a mess because the Assyrian king, centuries ago, had brought in captives from other pagan lands and brought them into Samaria, and they intermingled with the people. And they brought them down. Thine elder sister is Samaria, and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. What a terrible, terrible thing that the Lord saying has happened with them. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if it were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. The Lord said, you went farther than the inhabitants, the mess that was in the land. You went farther. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the inquiry of thy sister Sodom, Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Listen to this. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. That's what brought Sodom down. The Lord says we need to stay busy, don't we? Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. She became self-centered and interested in her own entertainment and well-being and not that around her. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. So there's a judgment of the Lord. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thy abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in thy abominations, which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Wow. For Samaria to be called more righteous than Jerusalem? For Sodom to be called more righteous than Jerusalem? That's what the Lord says. That's how bad that they went. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, in that thou hast justified thy sisters. You've said they weren't too bad. See, they were very ecumenical in who they received. Yeah, come on in here. We'll worship your God. We'll worship your God. We'll do trade with you. We'll have to do with you. We'll give our daughters and sons to you to marry. And they just down, down, down. When I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them. that thou mayest bear thine own shame, and me beest confounded in all that thou hast done, and that thou art, and that thou art comforted, and that thou art a comfort unto them. When thy sister Sodom and her daughters shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate. The Lord will bring back. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride. Before thy wickedness was discovered, at the time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria, and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines, which despise thee round about. Thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abomination, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which has despised the oath and breaking the covenant. The Lord said, he didn't establish a covenant with Sodom. He didn't establish a covenant with Samaria, but he established a covenant with her. And he's going to make it good. And of course, we know that that's done through Christ. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish thee unto an everlasting covenant. See Christ there? I tell you what, that's grace, isn't it? Amen. Because when his Lord, when our Lord sets his love on somebody or on a nation, it's set. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. He's not fickle like us. Then shalt thou remember thy ways, verse 61. See, as terrible as this is, the Lord's still working. See, because remember, as we've said in other services, as we've considered this passage, what's bad is when the Lord quits working. That's when it's bad. But the Lord hadn't quit working, has he? The Lord hadn't quit working. The Lord's churches are still here. His people, his children are still here. We're here. Olmsted Baptist Church is here preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to minister to this region and community about their need of salvation and their needing to obey the Lord Jesus Christ if they're saved and follow him in baptism and service in his church. And if folks that are not saved, they need to be saved. They need to repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to hold forth the doctrine of our Lord that he's given us. The Lord's still working. What's bad is when the Lord stops working. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed, verse 61. When thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, because that's who he purposed to establish it with from the beginning. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord. They'll know that he is the Lord from his judgment and chastisement, his rebuke of them and his bringing them. They'll know that he is the Lord by his kindness. When Israel sees Jesus coming to deliver her, when it looks like Israel is done for good, they'll look on him whom they pierced and they'll say, praise be to God for his grace and his love towards us. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded and never open thy mouth anymore because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. Well, those are heavy words, aren't they? Heavy words. But true, and a warning unto us. May we not leave our first love. Amen. And that one of the rebukes of the churches there in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 was that the church at Ephesus was very prosperous and had a lot of things going, had a lot of things they were doing right, but they had left their first love. That's what Israel did. They left their first love. May we not leave our first love, but may we look to him and cleave to him. The Lord has sent Ezekiel to break through the fog and the delusion of the sin that Israel's pursued after. Indeed, it seems to me that most of the captivity doesn't even realize why they're there. Remember how Daniel said that he read in the book of Jeremiah and came to understand why the captivity was and how long they would be there? See, it seems like they don't even know. They're oblivious to their sin. But the Lord sent a man. The Lord's still working to show them their sin. Why? That they might repent of it and they might come back to him. And so we'll see more about that, Lord willing.